Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome into the show. As always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. As you heard, I am Bill Ryder. I am filling in for Jim. Jim off the rest of the week and next week. I'll be here a couple days next week. And if you want to hit me up on Twitter, it's Sports Ryder. Sports is my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. Phone number, still green light for you at 1-800-636-8686. Email RomeAtHaveATake.com, at Jim Rome on the old Twitter machine, JimRome.com. John Morosi in a few minutes, Will Brinson later this hour, and Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk in the final hour of the show. You know, I keep talking about this because I'm trying to hold on to and appreciate having sports. And maybe it's because I'm a sports writer and radio host that I've taken it for granted that I've spent the last, whatever it is, many, many years of my life, year-round, watching sports, talking sports, consuming sports. Not having it has made everything that much more beautiful. I'm a Cubs fan, and Chris Bryant has had a brutal start. He's been ill a lot of the games, and yesterday finally hit his first home run, and it was a thing of beauty to behold. And just the idea, and as a Cubs fan, we're sort of through this because we got that World Series a few years ago, but this idea that every year you feel like you can win it in spring training at the start of the year, even though that's almost never true, is actually true this year. You've got this expanded postseason with these short three-game series, which we'll ask John about here in a second. If you can get hot at the start of the season, we've seen this before. Remember, was it last year, I think, the Mariners, or 2 years ago, got crazy, crazy hot at the start of the year? And every baseball prognosticator said correctly, it's not going to last. It was last year. It's not going to last. Well, what if it was a 60-game season? There's so many reasons to be hopeful and excited if you're a baseball fan. You're a Padres fan. The Twins are playing really well. You're an Orioles fan. I mean, you are looking at your team. You're looking at how they're doing. The A's have had success. Billy Beane has obviously had success, but not the ultimate kind. Not even close to the ultimate kind. And this is the kind of your Tampa Bay where things can go really well. Doesn't matter how good the Yankees look. How many home runs they're belting. Have a bad game in a best of three series, you can lose that series. For all the bizarro nature of 2020, we were just talking, the guys and I, about how in L.A., one huge advantage, and it's not worth it, I get it, but one, there's no traffic. Like, for the first time ever, you can commute and drive, and it's okay. I would take normal life and normal sports in a heartbeat, but let's enjoy what we got. We got NBA games basically every day, all the time, starting in the morning. We've got a baseball season where half the teams have a legitimate chance to make a World Series. Think about that. Half the teams in Major League Baseball have a legitimate chance to make a World Series, or at least win a playoff series and get some of that momentum, which is incredibly exciting. Yes, there's some problems with MLB and testing. We'll see if the NFL's a go. College football's obviously been a mess. But I'm going to err on the side of a little bit of optimism and just enjoy the fact that there are some, not many, but a few things in this summer of COVID-19 that are pretty cool and pretty exciting to hang on to. And the baseball season, if it can finish, if it can continue, if guys can be safe and the protocols can be followed, I'm really excited to see this shortened season and this expanded number of teams in the playoffs and these best of three series. And let's get some perspective on all of those things from one of the nicest people I've met in the business, one of the best people in the business, John Morosi, MLB Network, Insider, Fox Sports. I mean, everywhere. He's got like 9 jobs. Mr. Morosi, what's going on, buddy?
Bill, my friend, it has been too long. Great to hear your voice and great to hear you on the show today. And excited to catch up and talk a little baseball today, my friend.
All right, so let's get. I was just being all optimistic. Let's get the negative stuff or the worrisome stuff is probably the right term, John, out of the way. Any developments, any news on the two teams that have had some spread? And do you have a sense of your optimism level that we'll be able to see this shortened season through?
Well, Bill, I still believe that we will see a full season through. I think there's a better than 50-50 chance of that happening. The good news is today there have been no new cases, no new positive tests, I should say, with the Cardinals or the Marlins. So that's very encouraging. We do expect the Cardinals to resume their schedule at home on Friday. Their series this week in Detroit has been postponed. The Marlins due to begin their series tonight, in fact. So there is some signs of progress there for the Marlins. Still, obviously, a very fluid and somewhat delicate situation, Bill, across the major leagues. But this morning has been a good morning. And right now, no new positive tests with the Marlins or the Cardinals.
John Morosi here on the show. John, when I was filling for Jim here on the Jim Rome Show a few weeks ago, Dodgers outfielder Jock Peterson was on the show and was really cool and candid about how, you know, unlikely though it might be for nearly 1,000 people around Major League Baseball to travel to do the right things away from the ballpark, it had to be done. And talking to sources and just knowing the game the way that you do, do you have any sense whether or not what's happened with the Marlins and the Cardinals might reinforce for those players who require it the need going forward to really follow these protocols?
Well, Bill, it's been described by a lot of people in the game as a wake-up call, and I believe that it is. I think that some behaviors will change as a result of this. As we heard Derek Jeter, in fact, say, the CEO of the Miami Marlins, that while he didn't believe his players were behaving in a reckless manner at all, that there was, however, a false sense of security that they had going out, that they believed that there was a greater range of things they could do and still be safe than there actually was in reality. And according to what Derek said, it sounds as though the Marlins players were going out for simple things like coffee and breakfast and maybe some things that in certain areas of the country, depending on what your governmental restrictions are in a given area, where some of those things may be acceptable to do outdoors at least. But that's not true everywhere, and certainly for the major league players, that's really not true almost anywhere because they have to maintain a higher level of vigilance because of everything that's at stake for them and their population, how closely they are working together with their colleagues at all times, including the coaching staffs and the training staffs. There's a lot of people who are relying on this population of people staying healthy. And in fact, Bill, the vast majority of them have remained healthy. It seems that in recent weeks, the positive test rate in Major League Baseball has been something like under a tenth of a percent or under a half of a percent positive. It's been very, very low. And yet, as we're finding out, it just takes a player or two on a team testing positive and carrying the virus to create these outbreaks. And it's a very delicate situation. And I believe, Bill, the last week or so has really driven home the point that you have to be more vigilant than what your governor or your mayor is saying. You've got to be more vigilant than that because of everything that's at stake, and I do believe that players are altering their behavior in accordance with that reality.
MLB Network insider John Morosi here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. John, you look at the standings, and you've got teams like the Twins, teams like the A's near the top, the Rockies at the top, the Orioles near the top, and normally it'd be like, it's early in the season, like the Mariners from a year or two ago, it's going to go away. But it's a shortened season with an expanded playoff field and a best-of-three series in the opening round. What's the likelihood you think there could be some chaos, some dark horses, some smaller market teams that actually have a special season, potentially, because of the uniqueness of this year and how it's going to play out?
I think it's very likely, Bill. I really do. I think that we'll see some surprise teams in the playoffs. First of all, as you mentioned, 8 teams making it in each league. That is really an unprecedented number of teams making it in Major League Baseball history. So that in and of itself, you're going to get some surprises. And I really do believe there is a lot of variance in the way that teams are playing. Think about just the math of a one-week segment of the season or a 3-game losing streak is like a 10-game losing streak in a normal year. This is a really unique set of circumstances. And I think one thing, Bill, that we're still wrapping our minds around in many ways in the industry and speaking with executives on this, what will the trade deadline look like? The trade deadline is 4 weeks from yesterday.
Wow.
And who are the buyers? Who are the sellers? How quickly do those parties avail themselves as to what their identity is going to be? There's just so many different unexpected elements of the season. I do think there are some teams that are up and coming. The Padres are one. They've played pretty well so far. Their offense has been extraordinary. Maybe they're a team that's going to be very aggressive at the trade deadline this year. You mentioned the Rockies. They look more like the club that made the playoffs 2 years ago than the one that was such a disappointment last year. So, really, Bill, there are so many unique storylines to unfold. I don't expect that we'll see the Orioles in the playoffs. I could be surprised there, but I don't think we'll see that. One team to watch a lot, though, Bill, overall, the Cleveland Indians. What do they do with Francisco Lindor? They lost last night in Cincinnati, a game that I covered, that now they're below 500. They've got great pitching, but their offense has been non-existent. And with all their uncertainty about if they can sign Francisco Lindor long-term, I believe the answer to that is no. So if they can't sign him, maybe he is dealt. And if that happens, Bill, it's going to be in the next 4 weeks.
John Morosi, you referenced the ballooning, for at least this year, number of teams that are going to make the playoffs in Major League Baseball. I think the term you use is unprecedented. And it's really cool, right? I mean, it's exciting in this shortened season. Do you believe that that's going to be the new normal going forward? Or will, in your mind's eye, Major League Baseball go back to the previous format when things, whenever that is, return to normal?
I think, Bill, everything is on the table. And expanded playoffs in some format, I believe, are here to stay. Now, Joel Sherman has reported from the New York Post during the course of the offseason that before COVID became the pandemic that we're dealing with here, that MLB was looking at for the 2021 season going to seven teams making it in each league, and the bottom six of those seven playing off in the first round, and then the top overall seed gets a bye to the second round. So that format's possible. The one that we're talking about now is possible. I think that eight teams making it to the playoffs is a very interesting way to eventually, we hope, Bill, get to a 32-team major league if you imagine expansion. But certainly expansion becomes a really far-off idea in the current environment, but hopefully at some point in time in this decade it becomes a reality again. So I do think baseball will look for some ways to modernize. The standardized DH, I believe, is certainly something that's probably here to stay. And I do think amid all the negative press the sport got, and in some cases deservedly so in the last several months, I hope that there is a coming together and an understanding between the players and the owners that we cannot have a work stoppage after 2021 when the labor agreement is up. There's got to be a more robust set of conversations about the way the sport's going to look. And hopefully through all of this, as we have seen with hockey, where they've got the CBA extension through 2026 in the NHL, I hope that we have some way to reach a better understanding that grows the game in the future through all of this.
John Morosi here on the Jim Rome Show. John, I'm sitting here in Southern California, the epicenter of the Free Joe Kelly movement, and I want to turn to that and just ask you, given that suspension, given what happened, do you think the Astros going forward will experience more or less a normal season as it relates to how their opponents compete against them? Or do you think occasionally Astros having balls thrown behind them, at them, toward them is going to be part of their experience this year?
Great question, Bill. I certainly think, first and foremost, I'm of the mind that MLB handled that appropriately for a couple of reasons. Number one, we are in the midst of a pandemic here. Gathering people on the field, which you knew was going to be an inevitability of that pitch, is simply something that we cannot have happen. That is against the way that everything that we have understood from the science standpoint of how we have to get through this and keep the season going. So I think MLB was well within their rights to send the proper message there. And the other part is I'm really someone who does not believe that throwing a pitch at someone's head solves anything. That's not going to change the outcome of the World Series from 3 years ago. It's not going to reopen the investigation into the Astros. It doesn't solve anything. And so for me, in general, I'm someone who just doesn't like the purpose pitching. I especially don't like it when it's used to sort of punish people for flipping a bat or showing emotion, which is the most regressive thing that we have in baseball, that we try to suppress that emotional display. So I think it was a perfectly fine punishment. As for what the Astros face going forward, I hope it's a deterrent, because I don't know how much throwing at people on the field really solves the matter. They will, in time, when the ballparks fill up again, Lord willing, they will face the scorn of the fans around the major leagues, and that is great. That is the democratic process of being a sports fan. But I think in terms of the actual bodily harm, I think and believe we will do without that for the balance of the season.
John Morosi, you're a good man. Appreciate you, buddy. Love the insight, and hope you're healthy. Hope your family's well. Thanks for making time.
Bill, wish all the same to your family as well, my friend. Great to catch up after all these years, and let's make it a shorter interval between this one and the next one.
You got it, pal. I'll hit you up for the next time I'm doing radio. Done.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, dude. John Morosi on the show on Twitter at John Morosi, MLB Network insider, also does work for Fox Sports. I always laugh. And look, I think John's incredible. And reasonable people can disagree. And I'm not even sure I'm the reasonable one in this. I love guys throwing at other guys. It's part of the game, man. It's part of the history of the game. The whole it's violent, it can hurt guys. So is MMA. So is football in its own way. So is hockey. There are parts of the games that, and baseball has such a, for me at least, right, just me, it's been around for so long. It's not like this thing's been around since 1999 and we're still sort of figuring it out. I love these guys policing themselves. And I have, sorry Astros fans, some of you got so mad yesterday on Twitter at Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Don't yell at me because your team cheats. Like, direct that to at Astros on Twitter. All right, no more shots at the Astros. I do want to take some shots at the Pelicans, though. How's that sound? Too many NBA writers, and they're friends of mine, are full of crap. Let me just be honest. They don't always write the things that they know are true. And one of those things, I believe, is happening again. This faux outrage at those of us who were outraged that Zion Williams didn't play a lot of minutes in his first game. Clearly, the Pelicans heard the message. Why Zion playing 25 minutes underscores the hypocrisy of that organization. When we come back to the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. I am Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Thanks for hanging out. Dell has all you need to office anywhere during Small Business Month with up to 45% off computers and servers with Intel Core processors, plus top brand tech, all with free shipping on everything. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/small-business-deals. Phone number here, 1-800-636-8686. Rome@haveatake.com. You can use the internets if you'd like at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. I'm also on Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. We were talking Raptors earlier, talking how I think underrated they are, considering they're the third best team by record in the NBA and the defending champions. It's absurd, but they are. And we have a call from Toronto. Billy, well named, in Toronto. What is up? You're on the Jim Rome Show.
How you doing, Bill?
What's up?
I'm just gonna. I missed the first part of your show, so I guess I didn't. I just caught the part where, you know, we were going Lakers, and we were talking about the Clippers, and we're talking about Milwaukee. And I can't sentiment more than what you just said. I mean, do not sleep on this Raptor team. I'm telling you, Bill, following this game for a long time, I have not seen a stifling defense, and that's what wins in the playoffs, like this Raptor team. Ask the Greek Freak. Ask the kid there in L.A. that's LeBron's sidekick, what they did against us. The Raptors took it to the Lakers last game. Okay, I know they let Miami back into the game yesterday, but I'm telling you, this team should be the odds-on favorite. I'm not joking you. It's everybody else. Come and get the Raptors. This team, I thought, would go down gravely when we lost Kawhi Leonard, but this team has taken his personality. There's no pulling up the shirt and telling you how great they are after a three. It's a lunch bucket team that gets after it from the get-go. And just swarms you. I mean, I'm telling you, this team is the team to beat. I got them at 10-1 with my sports book, and I'll hedge out if they get to the final. But I don't see anybody in the East beating them. It could be a sleeper team, teams that give us trouble, Miami and Philadelphia. But it ain't going to be the Celtics. It ain't going to be Milwaukee. And I'll tell you, the only thing that I don't like is that we don't have the best fans in the world there. I'm telling you, we sell that place out every day, and then there's 20,000 fans in Jurassic Park cheering them on. But I'll tell you, this is the team to beat, and everybody start taking them seriously. Thanks.
Billy, thanks, buddy. Yeah, we talked about this at the start of the show. Look, I'm not sure I can bring the same enthusiasm you did. They're not the favorites for me, but they are grossly underrated. I'm with you. Second best defense in the NBA. One of the two or three best coaches in the NBA, Nick Nurse, which that's its own pretty amazing story. Pascal Siakam is a stud. You're right. They are going to have, I'm not sure success, but more success against Giannis than anyone else. Toronto, third best record in the game, defending champions, chip on their shoulder. Kyle Lowry as a leader. Avery Johnson, I thought, made a great point on this last hour. Here's my thing. Here's my concern, Billy. I think they should absolutely be taken seriously. I think where we disagree is I think the East is loaded with teams. Teams that can make the finals, teams like Milwaukee, Toronto, the Celtics, and teams that I don't know that I buy can make the finals but can beat those teams I just mentioned. Pacers are really interesting. Pacers and Heat are going to play each other in the first round probably, so you only have to face one of them, but I don't want to play either of those teams. Philly is so talented. They don't like each other, and they're not consistent, but they have the talent. They almost beat Toronto last year. They have the talent to do it. I don't think you're going to win 4-7-game series, not if you're the Sixers. You're going to win 1-7-game series, you shouldn't. I don't want to play them if I'm Boston. Especially because Philly should be on the road where they were abysmal this year. They should be on the road for four of those games. The neutral court may play to their advantage. So I think it's a really crowded Eastern Conference. But Billy, I'm with you on this. I think Toronto is grossly underrated. We talked about this earlier on the show. And to varying degrees, I think the Pacers, the Thunder, the Heat, the Nuggets, and absolutely, and number one on this list, the Raptors, don't get the appreciation, the respect, and the credit that they deserve. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate you. So, I got to be careful ripping my who cares? Let's rip him. Let's be honest. Like, covering the NBA and trying to be an insider, not an easy thing. And you can't be, outside of Adrian Wojnarowski, very few folks have been successful NBA insiders and also been honest with their criticism about the NBA. That's just part of the culture and part of the deal. You can be a little more critical of the National Football League, see Jason Lockenfora, and have some success breaking some news. And I think sometimes that leads to a bit of a groupthink in NBA coverage. And as a guy that's been on the road, been on the beat, I can't tell you how many times I've written the opposite of colleagues, and then of all my colleagues, and then gone out to dinner, gone out to beers, and in private, like, oh yeah, that's true. I just couldn't write it. And for me, and I'm not in the bubble, so I could be wrong, I think that applies to the Zion Williamson story. The fact that the Pelicans are in a bubble, that like everyone that's in a bubble, they're taking a little bit of risk and a lot of discomfort from their personal lives to try and make the playoffs, that there's, I think, a remarkable amount of developmental upside for any organization, but especially the Pelicans and their promise and how young they are, to get into the playoffs and just have that experience, even if you get totally destroyed by the Lakers. For all those reasons, if you're going to be there, you need to play to win. And Zion not playing down the stretch of that opener, playing only 15 minutes. And he looks so distraught on the bench. And I wrote a column about it at CBSSports.com and talked about it. And David Griffin, who I like and know, the GM, very talented guy of the Pelicans, came out and said, no, this was part of the plan. And then, again, second game in the bubble, Zion doesn't play down the stretch and looks like he's having a root canal. They keep turning the camera to him. He just looks pained. And I know all the counterarguments. He's winded. He's out of shape. He's not conditioned. He's been awful defensively. It's all true, especially in the first game. But he's been a force offensively. And that team has given up leads when he hasn't been on the floor because there's a level of enthusiasm and confidence. There's a swagger the entire team feels when Zion's out there, even not in particularly great shape, Zion Williamson. And I don't think it's a coincidence that yesterday Zion got to play suddenly 25 minutes. What, the doctors had him limited to 15 minutes in games that matter in a shortened, for the Pelicans and for the Suns and for the Spurs and for Portland, these eight games aren't the regular season. They are the playoffs. They're a playoffs to get the 9 seed, try to win 2 games to get in the playoffs. This is playoff basketball. And you're going to tell me after certain people, myself included, criticize the Pelicans for only playing them 15 minutes, then he gets 25 2 days later. Oh, yeah. 2 days later, we are ready to jump it by almost 100%. Give me a break. That's a load of garbage. What happened was that organization, the medical staff, sure, the head coach, okay, David Griffin, no doubt, didn't manage it right. I don't want David Griffin to come out and be like, oh, we just didn't message you right. No, you didn't handle it right. He's your best player. You guys aren't a very good basketball team without him. You're a potentially, I'm not sure great, but good team with him. You've built a really interesting squad. Brandon Ingram's a really good basketball player. Lonzo Ball fits in that team. I mean, I can go down the entire roster. That's a really nice compilation of guys that complement and orbit Zion Williamson. I don't believe you that he was only going to play 15 minutes. And if he was, make the minutes in a way that he can play down the stretch of the fourth quarter. Not for the least, because he's got to learn how to play in those situations. Games that feel like the playoffs don't come along very often for rookies, for future faces of the franchise, for the cornerstones. Do you know how special it is for a team like the Pelicans to get Zion to play, the opportunity to play, the final 5 or 6 or 7 minutes of 8 games that feel like that difference when the stress is on and the energy and the molecules realign, the air's colder? Playoff basketball feels different. And you talk to guys who have done it at every level, National Football League, the NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever. You have to learn how to swim in those choppier waters. It feels different. So I'm glad, despite the BS, this was the plan all along, that the Pelicans figured it out. But just please, when and a lot of these guys are my friends, but when you hear people saying or see NBA writers writing, this was the right call the first 2 games, Zion was out of shape. It's not true. I mean, surely he's out of shape. They managed it wrong. They handled it wrong. They screwed. Just own it. You're in the playoffs, in effect. You're in an 8-game restart regular season that is for the postseason. If you win the games, you get to move on. If you lose the games, you don't. It's playoffs. That's what it is. It's what it feels like for these teams trying to get this 9 seed. And if the Pelicans want to take advantage of the opportunity to develop these guys, to make up for, I mean, all that lost time is critical. Every game for young players and a young team is so important to learn how to play the game. So I'm glad Zion got more minutes. I'm glad he played down the stretch. But let's not pretend that the first 2 outings were anything other than a mistake by the Pelicans, because they were, and many, many of your fellow, or my fellow NBA writers are not going to tell you the truth, because they don't want to, they don't want to anger their sources. And frankly, David Griffin's an incredibly likable, charming guy. But you know what? He screwed up. Zion's got to be playing more minutes. You're in the bubble. These games matter. Play more minutes. We have not talked any National Football League today. Let's hit some NFL. I guess we talked a little AB, which is ridiculous. Will Brinson, who's a great guy and a pretty good poker player, NFL insider for CBS Sports, going to join me here on the Jim Rome Show just after we get this CBS Sports Radio.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Thank you for hanging out with us on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Our next guest, Will Brinson, not just the man behind the Pick Six podcast, CBS Sports senior NFL writer, and all-around great guy. Also, sources tell me, a poker aficionado, a no-limit hold'em assassin. Hello, Mr. Brinson.
Bill, what's going on, buddy? Good to talk to you.
You do, bud. You know, just another normal, bizarre day in 2020. You guys good? I hope family's all right. You guys are hanging in there on the East Coast?
Yeah, man. It's Groundhog Day, right? Got an iPad out. Probably go to the pool at some point. You know, wake up, maybe, you know, see a shadow. I don't know.
What's been your...
Over and over again.
Any bizarre sport or Netflix show that you've discovered, that you've, like, embraced in all your... you know, time at home in front of a screen? Anything you want to share with
I mean, like you said, I have played a lot of poker.
Nice.
So I would say that probably counts. I ran back. You know, I watched the full, at least the first 3 seasons of Rick and Morty the other day.
Oh, my God, dude, that show is so good.
Hilarious.
Oh, best, one of the best shows of all time.
Yeah, I never really gotten into it for whatever reason, and it's incredible. I'm also firing back up for the second time Justified, which is on Hulu. Incredible
wow.
Show if you haven't seen it.
You and I are, this is I'm on season 5 of Justified for like the 9th time.
So good.
And I've watched Rick and Morty so much, now I'm watching Community. Dan Harmon also did Community, which is
Oh yeah.
Great.
My wife loves Community, probably her favorite show. And so I think we've seen it like twice during the pandemic, 30 Rock, we watched The Office again, of course Parks and Rec, all those.
I love it. I love the Rick and Morty. Will Brinson here on the show. All right, so for those NFL players trying to decide whether they're going to avoid whatever risks are inherent to playing in the National Football League or not. What do we know, Will, just about the politics of and now the timing of the ability to opt out of this NFL season?
Yeah, so it seems like the average, the regular player, non-high-risk player, is going to have around Thursday, 4 p.m., I think, is what we're staring at, in terms of opting out. And these players who are not high-risk can get $150,000 that is basically an advance on their salary for next year. And it's interesting, Bill, because, you know, you see some of these guys, like if you're on a rookie contract, you don't want to opt out. And it's tough. You just don't want to do it because ultimately, you know, your contract is going to toll. You're another year away from free agency. But then you take a guy like C.J. Mosley for the Jets who just opted out. He signed a huge contract in free agency, and he's basically going to push it back a year. So he can come back next year with the certainty of his cash, and he advances his free agent contract a little bit, you know, a little bit longer. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And, you know, of course, you have these different, you know, the players who are high risk who can opt out at later points. The NFL is trying to give them a little leeway in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's tough because you're basically trying to decide right now whether or not you want to play football in 2020. And, you know, it's a lot like sending your kids back to school or, you know, making the decision like to do virtual learning versus whatever your school district is offering. I mean, it's tough because as much as you might want to be able to make a decision based on the information you have, the information is going to change in hours and days and certainly in weeks. And, you know, I know it's August 4th, right, when we're talking. We're 36 days away from football theoretically starting. It feels a lot longer than that, but I mean, I don't know. It's a tough choice to make because you have to weigh so many different factors when you're deciding to do it.
All right, Will, so taking all that into account, knowing that, as you said, things can change by the week, by the day, by the hour, by the minute, best guess as you talk to folks, as you study what's happening with Major League Baseball, what's your personal optimism level that there will be a complete NFL season in 2020?
Ooh, see, that you phrased it in tricky fashion. And by the way, my wife has informed me that I would be playing football, not opting out if I were
an NFL player. You're going to work? Got it.
Yeah. Go get some money, pal, is what I was told. It's interesting. Like, I'm 100% confident or something in that range that the NFL season will start. And I don't know. I would say I'm like 90% it'll start on time, maybe kick back a little bit. There's a trap during the schedule. I'm not even close to 100% confident we get a complete season, though, 16 games and a full playoffs and all that. I think that's asking a whole lot. John Breach, our colleague at CBS Sports, actually has a great article up on the site right now where he breaks down, he created his own NFL schedule, basically. And so the TLDR version of it is you have a 7-week schedule to start the season, or seven weeks to start the season, where you play six games. You play the three teams in your division twice because you got to get those games in, right? You have to play division games. And you have a bye week in there. And then the second 7 weeks, it works out where, like, if you're a first place team, you play first and second place teams from the other divisions in your conference with a bye week in that 7-week stretch. And so you end up with what amounts to a 12 game season. And then after that with two byes. And then after that, there's 12 teams in each conference to go to the playoffs, expanded playoffs to get back the money to the broadcast companies who are going to lose these regular season games. And then you have an eight-team biggest loser tournament to decide who gets the number one overall pick in the draft.
Wow.
And that also boosts revenue. And, I mean, it makes sense. Like, I just don't know how you're going to pull this off for 16 games with one bye each, where if, you know, a quarterback or three offensive linemen or whatever it is test positive and are forced to miss 7 to 14 days, what do you do when that team basically loses two games because they have so many players who test positive for whether it's their fault or you know, somebody else's fault or just extenuating circumstances, it's tough to keep competitive balance fair. So to me, it feels very much like the NFL should be approaching this with a contingency in mind where you think, all right, let's get 12 games in and work more bye weeks into this schedule throughout the year so that way we can be a little more flexible with how we handle these scheduling and what is ultimately going to be missed games or postponed games because, you know, players or teams or coaches, whoever else, contract corona.
Well, Brinson, that does not sound like the most optimistic assessment of the likelihood of an NFL champion being crowned. It really,
well, I mean,
and you're right. I know.
Like,
yeah.
How? I mean, I don't think like all the Texans or, you know, pick your team are going to be hanging out at a casino like these freaking Cardinals guys. But I mean, like, you know, maybe somebody on the Dolphins is going to go out for a milk one night and end up, you know, contracting corona like the Marlins did. I don't know. I just think you're asking every team to police themselves, and you're asking every player to police himself. And even then, you're not safe because, unlike baseball, if your opponent contracts corona like the night before, or because asymptomatic because somebody else on that team went out, you know, you might be in the trenches, you know, roughing around with somebody playing, you know, battling, you know, on the offensive line, and you could pick it up. I just think football is such a tough sport for it that it's hard for me to imagine that things go off as normal. You know, when we're watching NBA and NHL play in a bubble and baseball is moving these games left and right and has no clue what it's doing, you know, it's just hard to imagine unless something dramatically changes across the country in terms of these numbers. And that's unlikely to happen because, you know, as fall gets here, you know, some schools are going to be reopening. We're going to have to see, you know, more states reopening. It seems when that happens, you have a greater widespread, you know, proliferation of the virus and all of that.
Will Brinson here on the Jim Rome Show. All right, so I don't think this question is going to be applicable, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Let's just say that there's an actual normal season. Who has more success this year, Tampa Bay or the New England Patriots?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, I think you would have to go Tampa Bay right now, given the opt-outs in New England. Although I will say betting against the Patriots is not something that is, and Bill Belichick is not something that has been profitable over the long haul. You know, the Jets look like they could be awful. I mean, TJ Mosley gone, Jamal Adams traded. You look at their longest tenured offensive players, I believe, are Le'Veon Bell and Jamison Crowder, and maybe Sam Darnold. So, I mean, like, that's a problem. The Dolphins, I know everybody's optimistic about them, but they're still young and kind of cobbling it together. The Bills are a very good team, but, you know, can Josh Allen take a huge leap forward and they can become a contender? We don't know. So I think the Patriots, I wouldn't count out the Patriots, especially if Cam Newton is healthy or Jared Stidham is what Bill Belichick thinks that he might be. And, you know, so, but I would probably lean Tampa Bay just because all these defensive players haven't opted out yet. They have a lot of talent across the board defensively there. And I think Tom Brady is going to have a great offense. I think Bruce Arians and Brady will cook something up. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard. I mean, you know, Cameron Brate, Rob Gronkowski. They're stacked there offensively. So I just have a hard time seeing the Bucs being bad.
Will Brinson on the Jim Rome Show. Will, I love that you dropped Justify. When I was traveling, it's been a few years, but when I was traveling 25 days a month, for whatever reason, Justify was the show that I had on my computer and I just watched. It is, I think it's the most underrated TV show of all time. Not the best.
It's definitely underrated. In that mix, Bill. I mean, you know, Timothy Oliphant is an underrated actor, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
Deadwood
fits that role perfectly. Walter Goggins, I'll watch anything with Walter Goggins in it.
Do you watch The Unicorn on CBS?
I have not.
It's good, man.
Of course I do. It's on CBS.
I mean, yes, always on CBS All Access.
I love The Unicorn.
You're watching it now. All right, Will Brinson, thanks for the insight, buddy. Congrats on all the success of the Pick 6 podcast. You're on Twitter at Will Brinson, and keep taking my poker money, I guess. Thanks. Thank you for making time on the show, pal.
All right, Bill. Have a great day, buddy. See you, man.
Bye, dude. You too. Will Brinson on the program. All right, I got to tell you. He went to a beautiful place on accident. If there are two shows, you have to be an adult, by the way. If my kids are watching, you can't watch one of these. Love you, Madeline. Love you, Henry. If there are, if you're looking for something to watch that's proven to be remarkable, and they couldn't be more different, Rick and Morty, which is a cartoon. I was so mad when I first watched it, but it's obsessively remarkable and Justified, two of the best shows in the history of television. Rick and Morty, alternate universes, crazy science, remarkably inappropriate, but an amazing, amazing show. That's the good news. The bad news, and it's why I like having Will Brinson on the show when I'm filling in for Jim. He's such a candid guy. He does not sound optimistic there's going to be a season in the National Football League. And as much as I need that not to be true, I hope that's not true. I'm sure you hope it's not true. Major League Baseball has not painted a picture that leads one to believe that outside of a bubble, you're going to have a lot of success. And what Will didn't say, and I will before we turn to some NBA talk, is you're not going to keep thousands of guys, all of them, from being social the way that young people tend to be that can spread that virus. And come on. Not ideal. All right. Hoops is going on. Looks like we're going to get a champion. We're starting to get some insight into what we can make of these 22 teams. And Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk is going to walk us through all of those things. Some more Hoops talk here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder. And we continue in a moment here on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio.